It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
It's Walsh.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude? Got a few more game weeks to go here. The twilight of the season.
How are you doing? 36,
37, 38.
Yeah. Then post-mortem, then post-post-mortem.
Post-post-mortem.
Wow.
Post-post-production.
You can count on two hands how many pods we have left. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Soon to be one hand.
Yeah, it's odd little spot where we have the Chelsea Spud innings game on Thursday. UCL tomorrow, UCL Wednesday, but most of the game week's done. It's been another one for the ages.
Dude, you are flying.
I'm titting, man, you know?
This has got to be a big post-mortem topic. What?
Kevin?
No, it's just what can you take from this run of like 22 game weeks of climbing that into next year? How do we keep your momentum flying into next year, like Ollie Watkins last year into this year?
I mean, it's pretty simple, honestly. My formula, how I've changed it is, it's like what we talk about. You dance like no one's watching. Like, you just do shit. I just do stuff that I feel like, not like what everyone's doing. And the minute I stopped doing that and I just went with my vibing, everything was more fun, happier, got more points, did better. So I'm going to just do that immediately next year and not care how high owned Bumo is. If I don't want him, I'm not going to get him.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So
I've always said that you have to kind of pick a style. I don't adhere to this, but I think it's still correct. But like the people who play very by the book, ownership, don't take hits, you have to keep playing that way to get the benefits of that style, right? Of just like, don't worry about my rank. I have all the guys. I have all the ownership. I captain the chalk. Then late season, you try and climb. But if you're in between, which is, I think, more how I've been over the last like 5 seasons, maybe longer, it's like sometimes I fly and then sometimes I have like a 200K red arrow and it's like, I was kind of safe and then I went for something and went down and now I'm safe again and then back and forth and it's like not as good. But fucking how many points did you get? 65 pointer.
Yeah.
Let me pull your team up because
I mean Capson, which was he was bad, got a pen.
He got one huge chance and he sailed it and then he got a lucky random pen.
Yeah, which they all are sort of lucky and random, no matter how you slice it. And I brought Bruno versus AGO boy, Anthony Gordon, for the uninitiated. That was my decision. And my wife, I asked her, she doesn't know one thing about soccer. And she said, Bruno, obviously.
The only thing she knows is like Kevin. Names you've complained about before.
Yeah.
So she's probably somewhere deep in like, oh, he never goes Bruno and Bruno always gets fucking points and he's upset. And
that's possible.
It drove you towards Bruno,
And I mean, to be fair, he looked unbelievable in the Burnley game. He could have had a quad return.
We should have had many points.
Yeah, and it would have been fair on balance. His performance was he's just running the game. His teammates
are just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he plays on this fucking dog shit team, but his performance was... So I'm very happy I got Bruno in, and, you know, Ndot. What can you say? You know, he did the thing he always
great
does.
Great finish.
Blank. And... you know, I had Kevin just hodling. Kevin just continues to pay dividends.
Oh my God.
As it always
been a masterclass.
Yeah, always was going to and is and feels great. And then I got obviously absurdly lucky with the Gavard haul, like near post glancing header, which was a beautiful goal. But
great goal.
You know, it happens twice a year, and I've just kind of fallen into this very, very, very fortunate patch with him over the last handful of game weeks. He threw a 9 in there, a 12 in there, clean against Brighton. So
flying, yeah.
So my clean sheet, you know, dude, we've been very up, you know, we've been very mixed, you and I, on the city cleans, and, you know, every clean is lucky definitionally, but they've let up 3 goals in the last 6 games, and they have 3 cleans in them. Yeah. So... yeah. We're good there. You know, that's going as I was hoping it would. And, you know, hopefully they'll keep 2 more of the next 4. And then I'm just like, yeah, this was... Unfortunately, one of my city defenders is Ruban, who seems to not be fit.
Illness. Illness with Foden, I think, is what they said.
They were just fucking each other and spitting into each other's mouths and shit, so...
Yeah, the fucking NFO clean was absurd.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Absurd. But the best, arguably, like, funniest moment of the weekend is the Patterson injury too, but Pep after the game, I don't know if you saw, because some of the city players were complaining that the pitch was too dry. You know, like, you know, the fucking shitty teams are always like not watering the pitch to try and get an advantage.
Yeah.
And then Pep in the post game goes, "We're so lucky that the pitch was dry, because they would have scored the chances that they got if the ball wasn't bouncing on the dry pitch." I was just like, that fucking jab. Take that, you fuckers. So
Pep's such a genius. He always does those things. Like,
so
how to stick it in and add the needle. He's across it all.
And he's such a good liar.
Oh,
like, he doesn't show a single, like, smirk there.
No.
He just tells it like it is. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The deadpan is unbelievable.
So good from
him. He is the best thing in the world. Like, he's my favorite thing.
Fucking person in the world. It's
the amount of happiness he's added to life over the last number of years being in City is off the charts.
I don't watch enough Pep press conferences.
Yeah,
I never watch press conferences of any team. Like, I just read the notes or whatever. But, like, I want to watch all of his, because he's hysterical all the time.
He's incredible. He's
not
incredible.
Not hysterical
person.
Is my 30,
your fucking team.
30 very few points.
You didn't do the best so far.
29 points so far, if you include my -8. You know, Udog's out for the season. Van Heek, surprise hamstring injury. Foden out of the team. Add him to the list. It's just like...
It's
the type of thing that makes you say, okay, I'm done with the season. You know, like, that's enough. 3 out of my last 5 transfers out. Unexpectedly out of team. Like, I can't overcome that.
You've been getting some hammer blows here recently with some moves and
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the main points I needed to dodge all hauled fucking ass. Even Bruno gets 2 bones and a blank.
Yeah.
And then I triple cap Palmer, who you know, misses a monster chance, takes a bunch of other shots, and then
he was bad, but
the Madueke goal was the most tilting thing, because that was 100% 1,000,000% nailed a pen, and Madueke slotted it, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But that's what I need. You need a lucky pen. That's how you be good at this game. You get a lucky pen.
Yeah. Which part?
Yeah, I continue falling. You continue rising. Dude, 50% of the elite teams, 33% of the top 10K on wildcard this week. They wildcarded in 35.
That's a very high number.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It did not really feel that way to me. I know there was definitely some in the live stream on wildcard, some in Discord on wildcard, but a lot not. But Jesus Christ, everyone just like does the same thing and save their wildcard. But I'm very jealous. My team is just so bad.
Yeah. It's funny too, because
barely get 11 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still really don't agree. I mean, I don't... I so don't agree with using the wild card really late. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me in general, where it's like, you're
well,
just...
Well, I mean, when did you use yours? Yours was pretty late.
I think I used it a while
ago. It was like two, three weeks ago, wasn't it?
No, I think it was like...
When was it?
5 or 6 weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was game week 31.
Yeah. So, I mean...
It's pretty recent. 4 games ago.
Well, my team was in good shape, so I didn't need to. But I even then, I could have waited. I didn't need to use it when I did. Yeah. I didn't even make that many changes. But I think the basic point of just wait, like, these double game weeks are fucking traps. Like, every year, they're traps.
Well, they weren't traps in game week 34, to be fair.
You don't need to use your wild card. I mean, you can just, yeah, you have a few guys. It's only a couple guys that you know, it's not like you need 7 new guys. You know, everyone has the good guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But the later you wait, the less time you have to benefit from it. And it's just, because you can wild card, when everything was out, I did the, like, hide these guys and, like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the game week 37 double will decide, like, if those guys are really worth it or not. Like, you know, if those Man United triple up, whatever the fuck everyone's doing, Newcastle defender. And in a weird way, it was my saving grace. Like, everyone had Isak and Gordon, so that killed me. I'm already going to be on a huge red. But also, everyone had, like, Shar and Garnacho and Dalot. And, yeah, you know, like,
that didn't kill you.
Yeah, list of 5 nightmare picks who are all bad, who all blank. So, and, like, I got soccer points. So, like,
yeah,
that was like a little bit of like, okay, I'm not completely dead. And, you know, Palmer could fucking brace against Spurs.
And then
and
you're
I'm
laughing.
Fine.
Yeah, you get 40
completely
points. There.
Fine. But, you know, as of now, it's gone pretty much as bad as it could have gone, I think.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, going into the Newcastle game, you don't love your position. Like, Sheffield United away.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, that's not likely that you're going to...
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, that's just...
I have to try and win that battle in the long term, right? Like, home, we know they're incredible. Home Sheffield, even more incredible. Next 3 out of the last 4 games are away.
Yeah.
I just need them to play like they've played all season, which is, like, pretty bad. And I'm fine, but we'll see.
Yeah, totally.
No mug leader update, no public league update, no fucking nothing, because we're also, again, in the middle of the game week. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is.
So where are we going here?
Should we start lifestyle, or should we start Man City, or should we start random questions? You pick. Spin the wheel.
Let's start City. Let's do lifestyle after we get a little warmer.
Yeah, so City, I basically chose Foden over Kev, which was a minus a lot of points, but that was Plotty's question. You said, assuming both are fit, who's the better pick for the rest of the season, Kev or Phil? And then Mish said, what are your thoughts on Foden for the double in 37? If he plays in 36, is that a positive or negative sign? I guess he's talking about because the really short rest and turnaround.
Let's have a serious conversation about Kevin. Not like the typical joke. Not the ridiculous banter. Not what we typically do.
Not the banter.
I was thinking about Kev a lot. I was thinking about Konate a lot recently when we were talking about it a little bit on Discord.
Like, interesting. How are those two related?
Well, with Konate, they're very tangentially related, but Konate, like, I was just thinking about, first I was thinking about Thiago, because someone said something to Thiago, and I just always laugh about Thiago, because just like, this player is not available, he's available
whenever
for 10 minutes
an update
a year.
Or whatever,
yeah, it's just like fucking funny. It's like, Thiago still, it's like, he's not even a person, like, why are we getting updates on this? But Konate is 24, and every year he's treated like he's 44 and he's only going to be like, how can you not be, how are you a center back and you're not available for, you know, a midweek game when you're 24? And then I was thinking, then I was like, that was it. I was just laughing in my head about like, who is this fucking guy? Like, what is his body?
He just can't.
What does his body look like that this is the case? I don't understand.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I was thinking about Kevin, where it was like, he obviously had the big hamstrings and shit last year, and he missed, you know, almost the whole season. But now they have a game a week, and he's clearly been fit for the last month and a half or so.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he missed... Good.
Was like, no, I was just going to add to that. Like, he was very on and off at the beginning. He was like,
right.
Yeah, subbed off, maybe sub on late or sub off early or on the bench, do not play. Or like, there was maybe an illness in there too. It was kind of very like, when I transferred him out, it wasn't even really bad for like four or five game weeks. Because it was just like, no, he's not a pick. He's just blanking and like barely plays. And then, like, all of a sudden, the Palace game, and now he just looks normal and great.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was being quite literally played into fitness. I mean, he hadn't played for about a year. Yeah. And, you know, so he had that crazy 12-pointer off the bench or whatever, the Newcastle first game, game week 21. And then, yeah, he was coming in and out of the team. And but, I mean, I feel like more recently he's been, you know, he had the 18-pointer against Palace, but... He's looked normal for a little while now, and I think because Foden's just been doing so well and he's a lot cheaper, Kevin is actually not really being viewed at commensurate with how he should be. I mean, he shits points. When he starts games and he just shits points in this game, he gets bonus points for fun, he creates chances nonstop, he scores periodically. I mean, he's always returned points at a... one of the best picks in the game level. And people weren't really taking him seriously on it, right? I mean, that's kind of how I see it, where people kind of, ha-ha, Kevin. And now, you know, his last 4, 11, 9, 2, 18, and every performance he looks like he could get more than that even. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's not one or the other. It's both. So that's the thing to me is it's not like, why are we picking one or the other? It's both.
Yeah, no, I mean, every wildcard team that was in our live stream, I think we were both kind of in agreement where it's like, you should have Haaland, Foden, and Kev. I don't really care what that sacrifice you have to make is, or like that one doubler you really want.
Yeah.
Dude, couldn't care less. You need those three players. Because I mean, Foden too, right? It's like my timing is just historically bad, right? I mean, Foden's last two games are 16-pointer and a 20-pointer.
Yeah.
But he's missed three games. And I got him for one of the misses. And I don't have any of the hat tricks.
And that's the thing, too, with you specifically or other... I mean, you have fucking Anderson on your bench. A lot of people have actual good players there, which is... I mean, you know, if this is just an old thing that you had your team, you've just been fucked
there.
Yeah,
it's old as hell,
yeah, but looking at that the kind of thing for next season is like... Because even when I had Kevin, he missed a couple games since I've... I mean, I just hold him because I love him, but, you know, it didn't... It's not that bad to have a zero as long as you just have a good bench guy, you know?
Zeros are very underrated in a weird way in this game.
Yeah.
Guys,
not all zeros are created equal.
I mean, this is not all zeros are created equal. That's true. A zero do not play is the key to a good game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is kind of like, and this will be more postmortem, I think, but this is, I think, part of what you were trying to say when we were talking about Darwin, whenever that was, like, five pods ago,
I was too out of sorts that moment. I've never felt that incoherent in my life talking about Darwin in that
but
5 minute
stretch.
But
one of the things I think you were trying to say is that he never plays 0 minutes. Right? So like, even if you have him, he doesn't start, he plays 11 minutes for West Ham, that just means you have a one-pointer in your team. It doesn't mean you get the sub. You get the sub of the maybe better guy who maybe got a return or kept it clean on your bench. So in a weird way, it's worse to sub on every game. And that's kind of always been like a Pep thing. He doesn't really like to use his subs. I mean, the amount of 0 minute do not sub on unused subs, I'm sure they like lead the league in those. I don't know what point I'm trying to make, but I mean, I got rid of him. It was kind of good. You know, I barely missed any points. And then fast forward 5 game weeks after I got rid of him, now it's bad. You know, so now, you know, I don't know what to make of it, you know?
Yeah.
I got rid of a guy who played 6 minutes, 90 minutes, 2-pointer. 68-minute six-pointer, 90-minute three-pointer, 0 minutes. That was his run when I got rid.
Sounds like
the process. Worst pick in the game.
Yeah.
And then, he just flies. But yeah, I mean, he price rose. I'm sure everyone's getting him in. And they should.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The answer is both. You really should have both.
Kevin, he's just...
Well, this sort of...
He's so good.
Parlays into something that I was going to ask you about too, where it's like, I'm sure some of the people asking don't have room for both. I mean, like, they have Ederson or Ederson and Gvard, and they have Holland, right?
Because they're blocked of city spots, you're saying? Yeah.
And I was thinking about this with my team because, you know, in my sorrow of having 29 fucking points and everyone has 60 points and I'm triple capped, wasn't a fun weekend for me. I was thinking about Kai, and I was like, every single person I spoke to, I was like, no, you should have Kai in your wildcard team. Every single person. 13-pointer, easy. And I captained him last week. Great. Great pick. I think everyone should own him. But I'm blocked. Who isn't blocked? You know what I mean? I have double Arsenal defender and Saka. Like, most people have that. Or triple defender. I just don't know what I should have done about that. You know what I mean? Like, I think the answer is nothing. Go fuck yourself. You're blocked, you know, and that sucks. But, like, I don't know. Maybe I should have done a double move for Saliba out and just gotten the guy that I really wanted. Obviously, this is a bit of hindsight because Foden ends up not playing, which is completely unforeseen and just pure unluckiness. But, like, it feels bad in the moment because the guy I really wanted, I couldn't even get.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Yeah, it's difficult to assess this kind of thing because the context matters. Like, if this is game week 5...
Yeah,
or something, when you have the entire runway of the season to go, I think it's a lot easier to do that, to get the Kai in and do the thing. But I mean, to me, we never really honestly looked at this from a standpoint of, I want to do this, what do I really do?
No,
I mean,
we never do.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's Saka to Kai. Like, that's the easiest, most straightforward thing to me, where that's a strict upgrade. We've been saying for months that Kai is a better pick than Saka. You know, your team specific issue over the last 5 or 6 game weeks, which is like kind of when we started saying, you've had fucking shit to do. Like,
every
you're not sitting
week
there.
I have multiple injuries in my team.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, and you're bringing in players for the future that are injured soon thereafter. Like, you haven't been just sitting there in some precious spot where you're floating, and you know, you've been having problems. So
what's funny
that
is that I
is
had that move dialed up for a bit when my guys were more fit. I was like, oh, I can do that to fund Ndot or fund whatever, and then, you know, get the Liverpool league, no Mo, no Darwin. I'm like, okay, those are obviously the moves I'm gonna make now instead. Which were, again, right. You know, they both didn't start. They both got a one-pointer for something on late. But yeah, it's just that unique to FPL feeling of being like, I know who I want, and it's really kind of dumb to get them.
Yeah.
Because, like, Arsenal's also the best defense in the league, and Saliba's also nailed and good. You know, it's just like, it's just a tough one, man. Just a tough one there.
But that's back to, I think, you know, where we do fall into the trouble where we see our guys and we like our guys and we talk about our guys and we don't get them in our team. Don't, and whenever we do that, it doesn't go well.
Yeah, the one thing that I was kind of thinking of, like, in my thoughts before we potted, was like, maybe I, you know, like this is, we always say, obviously everyone knows like floating your transfers is ideal if you can. And we've joked all season about how you're just floating. Like you're a rank a million, but you're floating every fucking week. But eventually there comes a time where there's like two guys you really want. It works perfectly. You're getting rid of bad picks and, you know, you fire. And, you know, like if there was a situation where I had two frees, but, you know, this is all, again, hindsight, because if I didn't have the injuries, I could have done different things. But, you know, maybe just, you know, rolling until, like rolling with the objective of I'm going to wait until there's someone screaming out to me that like this is the best pick and I need this guy, as opposed to just, you know, oh, make a little transfer here, a little transfer there. I don't know.
When did you get Regs in?
Oh, it's so long ago. So long. He's one of my good guys. I have no fucking problem with Regs.
You say that, but you don't spend enough time in your locker room.
You think there's a disorder? You think he's why people are getting injured?
I think
they're mad at him.
I think your descent downward is very closely linked with him getting into your FPL team. That's what I'm trying to drive at.
I see.
Red card, misses a game. You know, the points he got, points on your bench, I think. Like, you don't start him for the good points he gets.
Yeah. He got me one
cancer.
Haul.
He's cancer. Yeah. And we knew that, and you did it anyway, which is, I think, you succumbed to the echo chamber of he's a good pick.
Right.
I'm trying to see when I got him.
So I got him in 27, benched a four-pointer, benched a zero-pointer, started a negative three.
Yep.
Benched a zero-pointer.
Yep.
Well, that was, I think he was suspended. Started a one-pointer, benched a nine-pointer.
Yep.
Started an eight, huge, flying.
Huge, huge.
And then wasn't my team free hit, and then started him this week, one-pointer.
When he got seven out of your team. Comes back and gets one.
Yeah, I did an incredible job of dodging all of these points.
There are these kind of, you know...
He's going to come good for me.
Fucking, you're out of your mind.
He's home for him. I can't even get rid of him. That's the funny thing. I can't, even if I wanted to, the game wouldn't let me. They'd say, hey, you have three red flags in your team. You're not allowed to get rid of him.
Red flags can't get red cards.
Red flags.
Did you know that?
I guess so, yeah. But they would just auto sub in anyway. I tried out my hardest and he would just come right back. He would just bounce in my team.
No, get rid of Rags, dude. You gotta get him out of the locker room. Yeah, it's
maybe
poison.
He's the problem.
He's poison.
The problem. You think Palmer's gonna get me some points? That would be really cool, man.
I don't know. He didn't look good. We'll see. They have a nice handful of days off.
For the record, I thought Chelsea were surprisingly good and probably the better team.
Yeah, I missed the tail end of that game. And yes, I agree that I think that they were the better team, but he was just way more peripheral and kind of just, he just didn't look good to me.
Didn't impress you.
No, but home, Spuds look even worse. So there's definitely hope. There's hope there, but it's just tough when you pin so much. You pin so many hopes on this one fixture. You know, it's the fucking triple captains. So
he kind of looks like some weird fucking animal. He's pretty ugly.
It's like a sloth, I think.
He's underratedly sloth. Ugly, I would say.
Yeah. He's not an attractive man. No. Young man, I should say.
No.
But...
some other questions. Fabrizio said, is Isak and Wilson too much? Three of the last four away for Newcastle. I mean, we kind of joked about how bad that is last week, and then obviously Callum subs on and scores like a fucking belter.
All he does.
All he does is play 20 minutes and score. And
if he plays, he scores.
And like, having both would feel really good going into the run, because one of them's going to start at striker, and if it's ever Callum, he's like hat-trick potential.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably worse picks in the game.
It just doesn't feel like getting Callum makes much sense from the standpoint of how long he's been out and having these two cameos. I mean, he's not starting, you know, really more than one game, I feel like, the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't think
best
he'll start.
Best case, he starts Burnley. Two.
Yeah, best case is two. One in the
that's
double and one other. But
that's not a pick.
Plus, you know, they're 25 minutes off the bench in both games.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be top eight in the game here with that shit, you know.
I would assume not, but I don't know. I just have last year, like, stuck in my head, late season Callum in the double, just...
Yeah. Billion, no, I mean, if Callum was fully, if he was fully fit, it would be Callum over Isak. Like, I mean, I just think it makes Isak a way worse pick.
Yeah, it does. From it the makes standpoint him way where, riskier too. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll get a big ding like the one game Callum starts, or you never know what Edward's going to get up to. But, you know, yeah, he came in with the points in the Chef U, which is, I mean, I was like really worried about it because I didn't like his long-term outlook after I just brought him in for the Palace game. And yeah. I was just like, yeah, I was like, there's a lot of stress on this Chef U game for him to get points or else, you know, I'm just stuck here and I'm going to look back after 38 and be like, that was a bad move. Like I got
right.
14 points in these six games or something. Right. Like that's what I was imagining.
Yeah, you needed the haul.
Yeah. So, but the haul just alleviates it all. And then it's all kind of house money from there. But yeah. I think it's just Isak's fine when you look around and who he's competing with, you know, but I don't think Callum's there for those minutes reasons. The security of start's just not there with the fitness.
Couple bench questions. You've all said bench one of Nico, Gordon, or Bruno, and Ben said one bench one of Rat-Faced Cunt or Private Son.
Where are you at on that one?
Which one?
I mean, I think they're all merit. You could talk me into any of them.
I think the first one's probably Gordon, just with the consistency of how bad they've been away and Burnley kind of playing decently lately. You could talk me into Nico. I mean, it's not like he's scoring points and looking good or anything.
I mean, I have a similar dilemma and I put Nico like immediately. I didn't really think that much about it. I was like, oh, you're by far the worst player of all of these guys.
He just is.
And I mean, Son, you know,
I expect Chelsea, like if I was modeling or something like that, I think my model would say Chelsea are likely to score more goals. Then Newcastle away to Burnley. I think Chelsea home, West Ham is like 2+.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's fairly close. And I just feel like he's significantly worse than that's.
Yeah. I think that's right. And then Bruno or Son? I mean, how is Son not going to score against Liverpool?
It seems hard to imagine.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Everything Liverpool does turns into a goal for the opposition. I was laughing the other day. I was talking to my friend about, like, you know, the title race and losing games and all this end of the season shit. And I was like, I've been profiting gambling wise off of Liverpool's opponent to score first in like every fucking game for like 30 games. They shouldn't be in the title race. Both of those things can't be true. You can't concede first and 25 game. Games or whatever and also win every game. So I was like, it kind of makes sense.
I mean, it was nice and fun and exciting, but I mean, this is like similar to me of the up until the recent dip, like the football team that's winning all their one possession games kind of in NFL. Like that. And they were just getting away with it and getting away.
Winning late, last minute winners, like all that shit. Yeah.
And, you know, they're not the best team. You know, they are the third. They deserve to finish third. Yep. That's what they are. And it's, you know, I think the romanticization of it with Klopp leaving was taking on a kind of a, you know, taking on its own thing. But
A lot of people have mentioned, like, if it happened in reverse, it would just be seen as like a very good rebuild season, but because of the order of operations, everyone's freaking out. Oh my god, they're fucking choked the title. It's like,
It's like Arsenal last year. The order of things didn't go well, but they finished where they, you know, really would. You tell them at the beginning of the season, this is the situation. You know, Arteta's ripped their fucking arm off for it. But back to the Bruno. I mean, look, we're gonna fucking destroy them at home. It's not gonna be pretty.
I'm so sad that I don't have my free hit Palace attackers from Game Week 34. I'm actually like, it pains me a little bit that, and you know, maybe my team is so fucked, maybe I should just minus 12 every week if I have any chance of doing well. And there's fucking three game weeks left. What am I gonna do? Like, just start bad players every week for the rest of the season.
I know. You're in a bad spot.
I can't. So, you know, maybe I'll go there. But yeah, Mateta, Eze, Alisi. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, Eze, I'm imagining, will be back. But he, I mean, he wasn't even in the squad, so he might not. I mean,
we don't know how much of a liar Glasner is yet, but he kind of said, like, he almost was ready for the game. Yeah. We just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, look, it was the third game in a week, and he started both, and he's been brittle all season. So, you know, I'm sure it was one of those where, like, the chance of him re-injuring is probably high in the Fulham game. And, you know, and look, our performance was very sluggish. It looked very much like a team that's third game in a week kind of thing.
And
but
Mateta even said, he was like, I was so tired.
He looked horrible. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate. Yeah. He was just, his touch was horrendous and he was just gassed from like minute 30. But
I remember, I don't have that many playing footy memories, but I remember in a college game, we play like in a rec league or whatever with Derek and shit. And I got absolutely, you know how like at that bad level, there's like one kid who's like, oh, you obviously fucking played in high school and no one else did. Like he was like,
good.
And he absolutely fucking rinsed me. And I was so tired already at the end of the game. So out of shape, probably hung over as shit. And I turn to try and chase him down. And I just had cement in my fucking legs. Like, you know, like the feeling of just like already almost falling over. I was like, my legs don't work. Yeah. I was like, sorry, you know, like there's nothing I could do.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he looked like.
Yeah. You know, it didn't look like that in that game. Munoz.
Dude.
Oh my God. He's insane.
He's a machine.
He's insane. I can't believe. It's just for us.
He's
going to
come
sign
in six million next season. Who knows?
Like for us to sign someone like that from another European, like, you know, awesome. I'm used to us getting championship guys and them working out from the last like 4 or so years. But for us to sign some guy from fucking Belgium who I've never heard of and to see him come in and actually be a baller is unbelievable. It's never really happened since I've been following Palace.
He's also
over the last
not
10 years.
Young, which is weird. You know, like, I mean, there's just so many football players in the world and it's impossible to scout all of them. But it's like, all this guy's been doing is donging his fucking life away for Genk for years.
He literally plays striker. Like he's double out of position. Yeah. He plays striker. He's an unbelievable pick.
He is weird. Like he doesn't play striker like how Eitan Nouri was playing striker for two games. But he just kind of like floats in the final third.
It's better than that, though. Because
he floats
in
the final third and he's like a hub for buildup. And then when something happens on the left side of the pitch,
that's it.
He crashes the box
from
the far
post offering. Like he's really there for loose balls. Yeah. It just hasn't found him yet, but he's going to have some big haul games. He's so good. He's just incredible.
I kind of hope he doesn't. Like, I hope he just ends the season with nothing.
Yeah.
He's 4 or 5 next season and
first
he's nailed. Nailed in the team.
Nailed in. But yeah, I mean, we will under the lights Monday night. Everyone's back. We have a long rest. We're going to fucking obliterate them. So in big games, when teams press Man United high, Bruno very consistently goes missing. So, you know, I don't hate benching him either. I think he would be up there. Like, I would bench him over Son, for example.
Yes, I agree with that.
I might bench Bruno and start Endot. You know, I'll have to see what happens next game and see what my feelings are.
I think it's reasonable.
It's close.
It's not that, like, everyone knows Bruno's a great player. Like, we take the piss out of Man United.
He's been playing so well, too, which is like,
he has, but, like, it's only against bad teams, right? Like that's when he flourishes for the most part, you know, outside of pens, basically.
Yeah. And he scored that halfway one from Liverpool. Otherwise, he was completely
invisible.
Yeah,
that is like, what is that? You know, otherwise he wasn't in the game at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's fair to be like, Palace are not the 15th best play. You know, they're probably like at least the top half team the way they're playing right now.
Yeah,
so,
Ninth, eighth, probably.
Palace slight favorites.
Yeah, we should be.
Yeah,
we should be.
I mean, I was hoping it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, that would be insane for us not to be favorites.
Yeah. Bolter, best keeper for game week 37. I was on Ederson. Is it Ortega time? God, Ederson. I don't even have the double. I don't even remember who's doubling. I don't even have it up right now. That's how on the beach I am.
Yeah, I mean, like, Onana, I think, is in the conversation. Yeah, two homes. You know, not a good defense, but, you know, good you could saves. Fall. Yeah, you could get saves. You could fall into one. Vicario, it's just so hard to recommend him with a straight face. But one of the games is home Burnley, even though Burnley don't seem to lose anymore. Home City, I mean, I just don't think it really matters, honestly. Like, they're all whatever. Just
the problem is you can't go Newcastle because Pope's supposed to be back. You can't go Brighton because this guy switches his keeper every fucking game. Or take a fine, but like, I don't know how long Ederson's out, you know, so that could just kill you. And then it's Petrovic and Vicario who are, you know, both basically bad picks. I think it's Vicario still. I actually prefer Onana for the double and then second Vicario because I still think Arsenal game. What was that? Those three goals. I was like, what's happening? The game like felt like it hadn't started yet or something.
It's tough with that one though, because the goals were all very not created by Arsenal, should we say?
Yes. Yes.
And also they went 1-0 up and they didn't even have to fucking do anything. Like they didn't even try. So
they
have that in them, right? They just they just control the game even when they aren't dominating the ball.
They have
kind of
like
thing.
A force field around the middle of the box. Top of the box, middle of the box.
Yeah.
And all Spurs would do is try really, really hard to get the ball there and then just recycle it. Turn around, recycle. And then the fucking it was just so weird, man. It was just so weird.
I mean, Spurs didn't create their goals either. So none of the five goals
were
created.
No goals
were
created. Yeah, Son had the one big chance and sailed it into fucking Rosette.
Yeah.
Piece of shit, Son. Dude, he's falling off a fucking cliff, dude. What the fuck is he up to?
Yeah, he looks.
He had one shot. That was his only shot. I think and that's what he does every game.
Yeah, I think it's we're entering W word with him with the washing up liquid. He looks.
It's Richarlison time. It's fucking Richarlison at striker time.
I agree.
Move Son back to where he's comfy. Jesus.
I agree.
Parmo said, give me a good single game week defender investment for bench boost 37 apart from Arsenal. I feel like all the defenders are falling off one by one. I may have to start thinking about a single game week high upside defender for the bench boost. Fair.
For 37?
Yeah, I mean, because all the aforementioned, you know, Brighton, Newcastle, Manchester United, Spurs, Chelsea, they're all fucking bad picks.
I mean, I still like Trent.
Yeah, Trent's fine, but away Villa that week.
Not great,
but every game that he's been back this most recent time, it felt like he's been unlucky to not get points.
I guess
like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, his crossing is back. Like he looks
crazy
so
good
in open play.
Yeah.
Is there someone else with a really good clean shot that game?
I mean, Everton or Sheffield, but Sheffield have been they're fucking fast and loose. So
their attack's not bad. I mean, Hammer and BBD like. They were kind of memes on my free hit team, but they're good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very direct. Like they transition the ball fast and they get shots.
Yeah.
So they maybe don't that's let the defense not the move. I mean, Munoz at Wolves. The Wolves look fucking done. They look totally cooked.
I like that shot. Munoz is really good one.
He's
really
vibing. He's having fun.
Sinesi, I think, is fine. Home Brenham, they're fucking beached.
Yeah, they're done. They're beached. Well, so are Bournemouth, though, so who knows? That could be an actual...
of the beaches.
On the actual 4-4. South Coast beach. Yeah, that could be anything. I don't know about that one.
Cancel that.
Yeah.
I'll redact that. But, Nate, can you edit that one out? I don't know. That's a good enough shout.
That's enough.
Okay. Any other matches you want to talk about, or there's just some lifestyle questions?
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the lifestylings were. Any other matches? Not really.
I felt like the matches were actually bad this week.
Yeah, they were.
Wasn't enjoyable.
They weren't of the highest quality.
Everything was primed to build up for North London Derby, and it was bad.
It was like, it was intense, but poor. It was a very strange game.
Yes.
The one thing I did want to touch on, which, you know, it pains me to touch on this, but I think it would be irresponsible not to. Every fucking year, dude.
What?
Goalkeeper, Deitch, Fuckford.
Easy.
On every year.
Easy.
It's just every year. Like, dude, 12 cleans? They have 12 cleans.
Us recommending players and then not getting them. Derek barely pays attention to FPL anymore. Texts me the night, whatever it is, game week 35, game week 33, whatever most recent transfer he made. He's like, who should I get on my wild card keeper? I'm like, dude, just keep Pickford.
He's had him good. Since game week one, hasn't he?
Keep Pickford. He has a good double, good pick. All he's done is fucking haul ass.
Hasn't he literally had him since game week one? He started him.
Oh, he started Vicario over Pickford this week. God damn.
Oh, good. Get fucked, Eric. You dumb
Let
cunt.
Me see. But game week one.
I feel like he has.
No, game week one, he was Johnston Turner.
Johnston. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just fucking Pickford, dude. He just.
Yeah.
Yep. Grinds, they just grind the Premier League into dust, and it's just
especially like in a week where they're playing for nothing and it's a useless game that no one will ever remember. No one will ever remember Everton 1, Brentford 0 in the most meaningless game week 35 of all time. But Pickford gets a fucking 10 pointer. Laughing his way to the bank. I think he's the highest scoring keeper in the league.
He is. They have four home cleans in a row.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, they had easy games, right? This is what Baker tweeted at me. He's like, Dyche teams clean the easy games. They had Burnley, NFO, Liverpool, and Brendan. Easy homes, easy clean. Fucking Liverpool.
Good easy team.
Good team. all right, so Andy Hall, there's a bunch of lifestyle questions. I feel like I'm not going to be able to answer at least half of them just glancing now. Andy Hall said, what is each of your greatest sports moments in life as a fan and as a player? And his example is sixth grade kickball home run while your crush was watching is a valid answer.
Come on. as a fan... I mean, actually, that's an easy one for me. It was the Giants Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
You remember that night?
That was the best. Dude, I'm not even a fucking Giants fan, and that was the fucking best. Dude,
that night was out of control.
10 of us, 15 of us in New Orleans?
Out of control.
Mardi Gras.
It was out of control. Everyone's I'm so glad blackout. I woke up in the morning.
And yeah, it was just oh
not
my
in jail.
God. Yeah. Unbelievable. So
that's it for me by
that's
by
really
miles.
Easy.
Yeah.
Really
what
easy.
About you?
As a fan, I mean, yeah, I don't
not a lot to pick from. I mean,
well,
is it
not the
Liverpool
New York teams.
Related?
Yeah, it's probably Liverpool. You know what's funny? This is we never talk about mental health on the pod, but the last therapist I went to go see, I came in, she's like, "How's it going?" I had this fucking huge smile on my face. It was right after. It was like 2 weeks after we won the Champions League. And she was, I was like, actually, like, really good. Like, I don't have that much to talk about. She was like, well, why do you want to come see me? I was like, well, usually I'm like kind of depressed, but like my team won the Champions League and I'm just like looking at the photos all the time. I've been high for like 4 weeks straight. She's like, okay, well, you know, next time maybe come in a little more prepared. So yeah, maybe it was that because that is how I felt. And the league win, it wasn't as good because
wait,
it was
what
like
do you mean
COVID
come in more
shit.
Prepared? She didn't say that to you.
I don't remember what she said, but it was just, I just remember having like nothing to talk about. I was everything's feeling really good. I'm really happy. Yeah. That's as a fan, as a player. I don't know, man. Ultimate Frisbee days. You were a good basketball player.
Yeah, but I was so young. Like, I don't fucking like give a shit about it. Yeah, I was too worried about like being cool or something than like actually fucking playing basketball. It was probably, I mean, I had a couple when I was playing Ultimate at GW that year. I had a couple like really big scores in like very pivotal, decisive games that we really needed to win kind of thing. I remember I had one against like Pitt, I think. It was definitely something there, but nothing, there's no like, you know, I mean, I had a couple like really good tournaments, and so that's probably it for me.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
If esports counts, I have a lot, but without esports, it's probably
counts too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have many fond memories, and we beat 3D one time on LAN. They were the best team in the world at that point in Counter Strike. So
K Sharp, if you know, you know.
K Sharp get fucking fucked. by a bunch of fucking 13-year-old little shits too.
Who are you? What team were you? Was that with Dave Todds and someone else?
Dave like, and
Costa and them.
Yeah, Costa was on the team. Yeah. Luke. Actually, two Lukes were the other teams. Actually, Pat and John might have been on that team. I can't really remember, but Web2Zone. Shout out to Web2Zone.
Yeah, if you, you know, Web2Zone.
Josh B said, Alon, best bacon, egg, and cheese in New York, and Walsh, best burrito in L.A. Nonsense, right? Best bacon, egg, and cheese? I don't know. They're good everywhere.
Everyone.
They're all fucking amazing. I mean, my favorite is probably where we grew up. True. No, they're not all amazing. They're not all amazing.
That's Rockies is the correct answer.
The Rockies bacon, where we grew cheese, up hash, is the best
on
one.
The wedge, on a wedge, ketchup, hot sauce. Correct answer.
Salt, pepper, ketchup. Yeah.
Is Rocky still there?
Yes. I took the old GF. Loved it.
Yeah. Rocky's in Millwood, New York.
That's where we grew up.
About 45. It is by miles the best bacon. But so you'll good. Sometimes get a bodega bacon and cheese. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I took that back. They're not all amazing. Because sometimes you get one and it's just like, this is disgusting. And the eggs are fucking bad.
There's like one piece of bacon overcooked. On it.
Yeah, it's just like terrible. What about best burrito? That's all you. I don't know.
I mean, you're not going to like this answer, but I think burritos are kind of trash.
Yeah, that's fair.
In general, I mean, mostly because it's just egg, it's just tortilla, rice, beans, and a little bit of something else typically. I don't like beans at all. I actively avoid eating beans when possible. And you know, I mean, sometimes you'll get like a seasoned rice in the burrito where it's passable, but you know, I mean, generally it's just, you know, I don't have a good one there. You know,
yeah,
I
mean, that's fair. Local, if you don't like it, you don't like it.
I don't love them. Like, I have my local spots. There's this one. They have something, it's called like the Cali burrito, where it's
with French shrimp fries
and
in
steak.
There?
Yeah, a little French fries, shrimp and steak in it. And there's this one place nearby me that I like that does it. And I asked them to not put beans, and they put the like kind of like lettuce, like pico de gallo.
Oh, okay. I love concoction. Beans. I'm surprised you don't like beans. Yeah.
Yeah, not a beans guy.
Yeah, but, I'm a bean head. Yeah. In my limited experience, because I usually don't go for a burrito either, but my limited experience, I think NorCal has the better burritos. I mean, like San Fran or like Santa Barbara and up are like more known for their burritos, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. LA people are mad. I don't know.
I mean, the food in LA sucks, so.
Barrick said, you guys live in the two most iconic American cities. What are the pros and cons of each? For context, I'm in New York City. I'd like to possibly move to LA in the future. So there you go. I don't know. How do we answer this question?
Yeah, that's a big question.
That's a really hard question. Yeah, I mean, we both live in New York. I've never lived in LA, but I've been a lot. Don't really want a car or drive everywhere. I like walking everywhere, so that's a big reason for me I'm still here.
Yeah. I mean, I've also only lived in LA for 1 year because I moved to the suburbs and I don't identify as living really. I mean, I think LA is just a catch-all moniker for
it's so big. Yeah, technically LA County is so big.
It's kind of a nonsense, but I mean, the actual downtown LA city is a fucking shithole.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put apartments in it, but it's an absolute shithole.
Yeah.
So there isn't really like a city in LA.
It's not a city. I've always thought it's not a city. It's a bunch of suburbs in the same county. And I mean, some of them are really fucking nice and cool, and I like it. But there's not like a city.
Well, the downtown LA is a city.
Yes.
It's just a fucking shithole.
Yeah.
But there is like Century City and Santa Monica, which are like, and even Beverly Hills areas, like in West LA, where there are like big fucking buildings. And, you know, you do get more of like a city feel, but it's even then more spread out. And, but yeah, it's just it's an unusual place in LA. It's like the whole scene here. But I mean, I live in the suburbs and my little like area. I don't fucking go anywhere really. Like I love it down here by the beach. Like I just chill. Yeah. But you know, it's
we can't go into the question anymore than that. I don't think.
Yeah, it's just too much.
This is an interesting. I can't wait for your answer here. Warren said, favorite Olympic sport in honor of Paris 2024 this summer. For me, it's the 4x100 and any track relay races.
Yeah, that's definitely not my favorite.
I don't have one. I honestly don't think I have.
Really?
I used to like have it on when I was a kid and whenever the Olympics were on. it was just on our TV in my parents' house all the time. And I would like, I don't know, get a little ice skating, get a little fucking Apollo Antonoing, get a little swimming, a little track. And it was all great. But now I haven't watched the last like 8 Olympics probably.
Yeah, I'm similar where I used to, when I was younger, watch it a lot more. And like, you know, Michael Phelps, like there were certain times where you get kind of wrapped up in like these phenomenons. But I do, though, if I'm home or what, and it's like Olympics time, like I'll just fucking throw it on and let it rip. I'm not paying attention that closely. But honestly, I think the last couple, the thing that I found myself enjoying watching the most and actually seeking out, I don't even know what it's called. In Winter Olympics, there's a cross-country skiing
with the guns
and shooting.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's amazing.
I can't believe it's a sport.
I mean, it's not. It's a couple of little activities that they just do in succession. But it's so fucking fun to watch because they like have it. It watches really well where they have the like the little targets are on the corner. They're showing them. They narrate it really well. They tear out like the players well, and they tell you like, this guy needs to make 4. He's fucked, and you can keep an eye here. They have this going on the others. It's just, it's so fun, and it's not too long. Like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
And then I also usually do love watching downhill skiing. Like I generally,
downhill skiing is cool.
I love watching skiing. I mean, I'm a skier, and I love watching skiing. So those are, I mean, I'm much more of a winter Olympics person than summer.
Yeah, I mean, the one that immediately came to mind for me is winter. Also, just memories of like Apollo Antonono short track speed skating, like so sick,
so fun.
I'll throw it on for Paris 2024. I'll watch some shit and get back to you, Warren.
I could watch curling for hours.
Yeah, curling's great.
I still don't know the rules. Curling's great.
The announcers, it's just mesmerizing. Everything about it. Yeah, it's just a good watch. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben said, favorite cooking show? Mine's Top Chef. We love Top Chef in this spot.
You're talking to the right people here.
FML Top Chef is coming next season.
We touch base every episode to just compare notes. But
to tell Rossica to get fucked.
Oh my God, get fucked. That fucking piece of shit trying to steal other people's dishes. Oh my God. Or their position. But I also love Chef's Table. I've seen like all the Chef's Tables.
What's
I love Chef's that
Table?
Show.
I've never watched it.
It's a Netflix. They basically have each episode is following one chef and, you know, they're where they are and all their shit. And it's not like always the most famous, but there's like different seasons and it's just like really well done and it's really cool. And
I want to check that out.
Yeah, you'd love it. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. Yeah, Chef's Table. It's good. It's really good.
I always like Bourdain. I mean, there's so many. Bourdain. I mean,
Last Reservations, big
last
fan.
Last time I was hanging out with a friend upstate, he was watching Beat Bobby Flay, which is, by the way, terrible show, but very funny. Because it's
really cut. I'm not a big Bobby Flay guy.
It's just, no, it's a bad show and he's bad. But it's funny because it's just like cut every 2 seconds. There's some cut to something fucking insane. And like there's weird laugh tracks when people aren't laughing and there's people laughing without laugh tracks. And it's just like complete mania. And it's such a bad concept. And he just wins like 80% of the time. He's just like, oh, Bobby's the best again. It's just like, that's so
funny,
dumb.
Man.
But yeah, there's a lot of good shows.
I mean, like No Reservations and Parts Unknown aren't really cooking shows. Those are more travel shows.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Chef is the OG. I mean, I remember back in the day when we were little.
Still good.
It still holds up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still good.
When it was like dubbed back when we were young.
Like,
I used to
really
watch that shit
crazy and intense.
It was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Lifestyle. Last question. Chin said, this is a really hard one. Outside of England, which countries have produced the most memorable FPL players for you both?
Which countries?
Yeah, so like what nationality of FPL player?
But that's not, it's not like we're drawn to a particular country though.
By
happenstance?
Yeah, by happenstance. Yeah, not like.
Well, I guess for me, it's like my top three are like Ozil, Tadic, and Kun. So where are they from? Turkey,
Germany.
Germany, Serbia,
Argentina.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a really hard, weird question. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how to answer it.
I don't also think the answer is England. Besides, England's not there. So
Belgium. We've had so many players.
Yeah, so many. Yeah.
Oh, Belgium's a good one. Hazard, Kev, Bukaku.
Oh, it's like if Fellaini, you had to pick a country.
Toby and Vertonghen.
Oh, yeah, I see.
There's
I
so many. Their national team used to be like 10 out of 11 were like in the Prem.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's fucking... I was just thinking of Alexis Sanchez. Is there anyone else from Chile?
Vargas.
BBD. Alexis and BBD, that's my answer. Yeah. I'm sticking to it.
Vidal. Never made it over.
Yeah, I never made it over. Yeah. I think that's it, dude.
All right.
It's fun doing these lifestyles at the end of the season when there's less to talk about, really.
Yeah, less listeners. Only the real stat heads are with us at this point. Yeah, the real fucking perversions.
So we'll be back Thursday after that game. We'll pod live stream Friday deadline. So what? We're doing a live stream a little bit earlier than we have been on Friday, and then 30 minutes before the deadline it'll end, basically. So
yeah, and then normal pod next week. Sunday, which will be again familiar, I think.
Yep.
Not over with the game week yet, but there we are. Oh no, as Monday usual. Monday will be after the Palace.
Oh yeah, nice. Palace, after Man Palace. United. Wow, I can't wait for that game.
This is how that game's really gonna go. We're gonna beat the fuck out of them and lose 2-2.
Yep, 100%.
We're gonna lose 2-2.
100%. Garnacho worldy. Some Casemiro header on a free kick or something.
Stoppage time.
Yeah, for sure. Let me slap asses. We got 3 new signups. Appreciate it, y'all. Late season signups keeping us floating. Bill Twomey, Tommy Tupperware, Sean Reese, Tommy Davis, Robbie K, and Joey T. Slap ass, baby. Tommy Tupperware.
Yeah, that's a name.
And any last words, dude?
That's a wrap. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's a wrap. See you tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. Support at fmlfield.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, break, review, cheer.
Sports Social Podcast Network.